8:09 the time, Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you here on an absolutely gorgeous Laguna Beach morning. Welcome to the program today. The entire month of March is, of course, Women's History Month. This week in particular, though, is Women in Construction Week. And after growing up in a tiny little town in Iowa and having graduated from Iowa State University after studying architecture and landscape architecture and mechanical engineering and a bunch of stuff that I have no idea of, we welcome her to Laguna Beach. And specifically to our program this morning, Julie Lawton from Julie Lawton Design Build. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Ed, and welcome to myself again. That is so cool to be here because, you know, Ed's my favorite DJ. And thank you, Laguna, for supporting Ed and this fabulous radio station. And, of course, I'm so happy to be here.
Delighted to have you. And this is the perfect month for you. You are someone to be looked up to by other women. You are someone who, by anyone, really, you are a story in and of itself that is something to try and achieve. You are an achiever.
I have this built-in thing in my DNA because I think it's because I had a lot of strong women and a lot of strong grandmothers. I had 5 grandmothers when I was growing up because of the 2 great-grandmothers and the 4 grandmothers. And it's just kind of funny. My mother is ridiculously strong and motivated, and she's in finance, and she's one of 150 men, for example. So she did set the example. But my grandmothers were just as strong, and one of my grandmothers was all about voting rights for women in the 20s. So it started way back when, and she wore pants before it was acceptable and all that stuff. So it's definitely in my DNA, and I was never told I had to be the woman or the wife, the stay-at-home mom. I got to skip all that 50s genre stuff. So I was born in 1962, so it was a perfect time to be alive and starting out with a clear process of women are equal, right, you know. So right. That is part of the story, yeah.
Did your mom try and push you into finance?
No, she knew that I was an artist because I was born with drawing talent, and I was a drummer still to this day. I played the piano, the violin. I played sports, tennis, golf, swimming, archery, skeet shooting. I mean, I never sat down in my childhood. And then I was an artist, though. So we weren't like her in that sense, and my sister was more artistic. But my sister did go into finance and accounting in college, but I stuck with architecture, design, and space planning, anything I could do with my hands. So, you know, to this day, I mean, I can tell you my checking account balance by memory today, but I don't like to sit down and do that part and doing taxes. Oh, I leave it to someone else. I don't like that part. But I know how to make money. How's that?
That was going to be my point. So maybe you're not an expert in finance, but you know how to be financially successful.
Yeah, I know how to sell. I know how to please people, and I have a talent. I was gifted with talent, which I do use to sell. That's my talent. So, and that's the neat part. The asset is my talent and me as a person. So,
right. Let's talk about the kind of, so you design magnificent buildings everywhere. House, it doesn't matter what type of building or landscape, really. Mm-mm. You have an amazing imagination for design. Do you get a lot of ideas from art that you've seen, or can you incorporate some art you've seen in designs that you do?
Well, it all starts with, first of all, my education and my thirst for information. I like is architecture, the history of architecture. If you go back to the history of architecture and look at all the different styles and all the different ways things are designed, everything we do today relates to one of those, you know, whether it's modern, traditional, Italian, French, there's all these history of architecture. So that's one thing. So the sensibilities and all that, if you're a purist, you know, it's always, there's something there. But with me, literally, when I walk into a home or a building, I can see it done and what it should look like done. And then I take the client's information and put that in there, and then we develop it more. But I actually can see the options when I walk in the door. It just comes to me.
Right away.
Yep, right away, instantly.
So if you were to walk into my front door, you go, okay, this needs to be here. Uh-huh. This, I can see
change
another.
Change that paint color.
Take this wall out.
Move that sofa, all that. Yeah, because it has to flow. Everything has to flow and feel right. It's like the house talks to me. It's weird, but I see it.
Right.
It's design sensibilities, and it's part of my artistic talent and my ability to visualize.
And do you feel a responsibility? Let's say a client invites you and they have a specific plan, and if that plan just isn't right, do you feel that responsibility to tell them, look, this isn't going to work this way?
Yep.
Why don't we try this?
I tell them immediately and I put my foot down, but I explain it. And as soon as I get done explaining it, then they're good. So the key is to educate and inform the client. And once they understand it, they're like, oh, yeah. But they have to be educated, and it has to be explained to them. So, because I never bowl them over with, it's my idea. It's really what's right.
Right.
And what's best. And then they see it and they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay. Let's talk about the Wallace Neff designed home. One of your projects, one of just magnificent and beautiful. Mm-hmm. Talk about it for a second.
Well, when I first moved to California, I had been doing commercial architecture for like 7 years. And I worked in banks and retail spaces and all this commercial work with all the 5 top developers in New York City. So when I got to California, I thought, I need to design. So let me get into the kitchens. And then I realized I was a salesman. So I sold all these kitchens. But one of the first kitchens I designed was in this Wallace Neff home. And the cool part is that home was bought by my client 25 years ago. And the woman that lived in it before them for quite a few years had never remodeled. It was the original butler's type style pantry kitchen. And I got to design that. So that was the first project. And then we took the rest of the rooms and updated them with cabinetry and wall paneling and whatnot. And then 5 years after that, we added 2 cabanas in the backyard and restored the glorious Hollywood 1930s pool. Ooh. With gold tiles, gold gilded tiles. And I got to design all the tiles around the pool. And one of the cabanas had a spa with the sauna, the wet sauna, the dry sauna, the jacuzzi with hand-designed tiles by me, a hair salon, and a massage room. So this whole building, 1,500 square feet, was just over the top with handmade painted murals from Italy and columns, gold gilded. It was over the top. So that was when I was fresh to California, my first real big job to show off my talent. Right. And then it just went from there. That job was where I expressed most of my talent.
So when you step onto a property that is historic from the 20s and 30s, do you kind of feel that you're back there? Do you,
oh, yeah.
do you go back in time
Instant.
With the building?
Instant. I wish I had the clothes on and everything. I just want to zoom myself back in time because you get the vibe from the design.
Right.
The architecture, again, speaks to you. You get that, like, oh. And then you feel like you're just right there, like you stood where the same people stood, you know, 1930s.
Right.
It's cool.
Right. It's got to be a great feeling.
I love it.
Historically, and who, of course, you're, and as I've been mentioning all morning, you're my favorite woman in construction. Who did you look up to?
Well, I like Julia Morgan. So if you ever go to Hearst Castle, you'll get the history that the first architect ever to be accepted in the architectural school, I believe it was in France, was a woman named Julia Morgan. And she did over 700 buildings in California, but her background was in engineering, and I have the same engineering background. So she would be my one idol and someone to look up for. She worked with William Randolph Hearst all the years that he never stopped adding on to that Hearst Castle. She was in charge of the design, the engineering, and running the crew of men. Ooh. So she does basically what I do today.
Right. Okay, and let's talk about landscaping for just a second. And I know, again, it takes great imagination and creativity. Nobody has as great an imagination as Disney Imagineer Tony Baxter, yet he came to you to do his landscaping. Yeah. And as I'm looking at a picture of it now, magnificent.
Oh, yeah,
what went into that?
Okay, so Tony Baxter was watching the Mary Poppins movie a couple years ago when it first came out, the remake. And he saw the scene of the lamps post in the backyard with the guys dancing around the lamppost and the fountains going off. And he told his friends that one Friday night at movie night, I want this in my backyard. That'll make me use it more, because he didn't ever use his backyard for entertaining. And these friends look at him like, that's impossible. So then the challenge was on. So he calls me, hey, we're doing this backyard and I'll get the lamppost and you need to help me, because he, trust me, he had tried to get other people in the past to do lighting and landscape for him, but he can't find anybody. So we got up in the trees and put in the blue lights, the LED lights, and made the whole backyard look like a movie set every night with moonlit lighting from above and below. So it was a big trick to get the lighting right. And then he got the lamppost, and then we got the fountain and put it together. And then the bushes and everything were already English gardens, so we just had to clean and maintain and, you know, all that. But it was a couple months till we got done, but it's stunning. Yes. And Tony is like me, he's a visionary,
right.
But getting it off the paper into reality is where he needed me to make it actually work with the workmen and get it done.
As I see these pictures, and I hope that people can go on your website and see these pictures, because they are magnificent.
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful. That's a fantastic landscaping
job. It's dreamlike. That house is over the top, and we've been in every room, and, you know, we did the stained glass in the house, everything, and it was all Disney inspired, and Tony, you know, designed it.
Yeah, it's like something out of a cool Disney movie. It really is.
It
really is.
It is.
If given your druthers, what would you prefer? Would you prefer to build something from the ground up or a remodel?
Well, it's funny because I like remodels when the building is worthy, because it's nothing better than restoring and saving and bringing back to life a building. And because there's so many buildings out there already, so I purposely chose to be in remodeling and vintage architecture, even though this next year I'm going to step into new construction, because it's easier, but doing it from scratch is just as fun, if you know, and rewarding. But I will dabble in new construction in the next 5 to 10 years, but I just love remodeling and restoring vintage homes because it means something to the people that live there, especially if it's historical, or maybe their parents or grandparents owned it. A lot of my clients are emotionally attached to their homes, so it's a big deal to get it done right. So I have spent 95% of my career on remodels and rebuilding them and building half of them ground up. So it's all still new custom homes, but it's just, you know, I like vintage, but I am going to do new construction because I've already started.
So. Okay.
Doing some.
So the family home that you grew up in, is that still part of the family? Do you have that home?
Okay. So here's the deal. My parents moved to in town, and the house they bought was a farmhouse from the turn of the century. And then they live next door to my grandpa's house, and they own my grandpa's house now on his property. And that house was kind of a stucco turn of the century English house. But my parents and their parents all live, and the family members all live on the original farmland from 5 generations ago when the farms were settled in the 1850s. So both sides of the family still own and maintain the farmland, somebody in the family.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. We're all on the Midwest farmers, English, Irish, Scottish, little Germans. Yeah. So yeah.
I'd love to meet your grandmother that worked hard to get women to vote.
Cool. She had pictures of her in pants in 1819 on her horse, and you know, and she had the long flowing hair, and her name was Mame Gretkin, but her maiden name was Franklin, so we're related to Benjamin Franklin. Isn't that cool?
And that is way cool.
It is cool. And then my last name's Lawton, which is my dad's grandmother's maiden name, because she never married back in 1912 when she had my grandpa. So I kept my maiden name because it's my great grandmother's maiden name, and we're related to Charles Lawton, the actor. The English, so we're all from the same little town in England.
That was the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Oh my God. So that's a bloodline, and it's like seventh cousin, but it's a bloodline that was shown and proven. So it's pretty cool.
Charles Lawton was one of the great actors of all time.
Yes, and he became a great director and is way ahead of his time, and just what a guy.
My goodness.
Yeah, talent.
So right now, and I noticed this the other day at the stage, I noticed this wherever you go. You command attention when you walk into a room. There's you're Julie Lawton, and here you go. You go to the table you want. You talk to So coming up, when you first got into the business, I know there had to be a lot of people trying to step on you. I know there had to be people trying to keep you down.
Well, yeah, because first of all, I can't help. I was born this way. I'm almost 6 foot tall and the flowing brown hair. And, you know, but I have this confidence because I had confidence as a child, but I wasn't this confident when I was in college. You know, I was still the shy kid. I was a really shy kid when I was in high school, but college, you know, it got a little better. But I was shy and respectful of my adults, you know, around me, right. You know, right out of college. So when I would get a job, they'd always throw me in with the men and make me do all the crappy stuff because I was the youngest one. But, you know, people always pushed me around because I didn't know how to stand up for myself, because I thought, okay, they're stronger, let them go, whatever. Right. But sometimes stronger men abusive and disrespectful, but I just let it go and didn't, you know, but I wasn't as strong as I was when I was 21 that I am now, but right. I did have the confidence, but the strength of, hey, that's right. Not right. And hey, hey, that all came along with the, you know, time.
Right. I cannot imagine that. Seeing you now and knowing you for these last several years, I could not imagine you being that.
I was quiet and respectful because I grew up with a very disciplined family. My parents were very disciplined and organized. So you listen to people, you know, you didn't talk back, period. You know, you just stayed in line. And then, you know, when things, so it took a minute to be like, yeah, But now I'm in command and I'm the boss and blah, blah, blah. So, right. You know, then I have to set a good example too. So that's another part of my whole thing.
You have a great crew and they seem to love you. So that works
they
out
do.
Really well.
They do. Yeah. They love me, respect me, and fear me all at the same time. It's fabulous.
It's always great to have a little fear in there. Yeah, it looks great. Clench the cheeks when she walks in the room.
Exactly.
Here.
They got to be on their toes.
So if someone comes to you with a beach cottage, let's say it's a Laguna Beach place or a Newport Beach place. It's a beach cottage, a small place. Mm-hmm. And as your first duty when you take them on, what is it?
The first duty is to honestly assess the building and where it's at and what is the building's strength and weaknesses are. So if there's going to be any surprises with the remodel. But then the first real thing is to pick their brain and get their vision out of their head, because that's the design professional in me. I have to interview the client, spend time with them, collect the pictures, and really get what they want,
right,
most visually, and how do they want to live in the home. So that's the first whole 6 months or however long it takes, is how does the client want to live, and go through that whole design process. Because like I said, most people don't know how to do it or don't do it at all. And that's why my motto is, it all starts with a good plan. That plan is the client's wishes and dreams on paper. Right. And then when we start, it's just like, easy peasy.
Okay. What's a project or two that you're working on right now that you're pretty proud of?
Well, Tony Baxter's house, we're still working with him, of course, and I love that house. But, there's another project on the beach, on the oceanfront in Newport, which is pretty rewarding because it's an old house that was probably built, I think, in 64, and it did have an apartment in the bottom, but just restoring it and not having to tear it down and make it look fabulous and new for the younger homeowner who's moving in, who's 40 something, they chose not to tear it down. And every day I'm out there on the patio or doing something, the older crowd of residents and locals walk by and thank me for not tearing it down and doing a new box. And the same look that all the other builders are doing. I mean, my God, everything's the same right now. But so there, I get a lot of compliments from locals from the Balboa Peninsula who appreciate that I restore and rebuild and keep the character and charm. But, don't overbuild.
Right. When you doodle, when you're at a restaurant, you got a pen in your hand and you're doodling, what are you doodling?
I always start with shapes and designs. And then I like to draw people and, things like that, because I'm an artist. I can paint landscape and draw people. So I might sketch a person, but if I'm working on a project, then I just sketch the layout and go over some things. And, but anything that I'm thinking of just comes out of my fingers. Sort of like when I play drums. If I hear the music, it just comes out of my fingers. I can't help it. It's weird.
And you mentioned drums. Over directly across from us, 12 feet away, is the live room where we have a full setup, which you designed.
Uh-huh.
When you walked into this building and you looked at it, we have a lot of stuff in this small area here. What was the challenge? What did you think when you first started redesigning this building?
Designing this building was just like my career in New York City, where I would work on 100,000 square foot offices and commercial spaces. But the first thing came to mind is, oh my gosh, there's so many things to do in this space. You've got many, many tasks, many, many things happening in each room. So first I figured out, would everything fit, which goes with which. So when you space plan, you make sure everybody can move around and do all the tasks at the same time or at different times. And then I thought, this room has only one window and it's on the street side, so why don't we bring the ocean into the room? Because when you stand in the room and look towards the ocean, it's there, but you can't see it because the other offices are in the way. So then I came up with the soundproof panels with the ocean view.
Magnificent.
And I just stepped out the door and took a picture of the ocean at the right time of day when it was most sparkly.
And I got to tell you, when artists come in here to perform, they are in love with that
room.
They
get it.
They do. They absolutely get it.
They get it. Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Right on. Julie Lawton. So let me explain what Women in Construction Week is. It raises awareness and celebrates the work of women in the construction industry across the country. It was founded in 1998 to continue its mission of strengthening and amplifying the success of women in the industry. And this year's theme is Envision Equity. So the people that you're working with on a daily basis, and I already know the answer to this. You try and lift everyone up around you. Mm-hmm. You try and make everyone feel important. You try and give them all value in their statements to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you got from your grandparents, from your grandmother?
Well, it's just kind of the same respect, because I was taught to be respectful And I think that disciplinary thing, because my mom was kind of funny when she was a career girl and worked her whole life. And she always joked children should be seen and not heard. And when if you did speak, you only spoke when you were spoken to. So I did grow up with quite a bit of discipline, and there was no horsing around. And I always taught to be a lady and act almost professional at all times, because if you compare me to my cousins, we are polished compared to the average kid. I grew up fast.
Okay.
I was doing adult things. I was, you know, had my first job at 14. I worked my whole, you know, since I could. So
you just recently spoke to the Association for Women in Architecture and Design. What did you tell them?
Oh, about how you can be in construction and design at the same time. It's possible. I'm living proof. But even if you don't want to be, you should learn more about it, because why are you designing if you don't understand what you're building or they're building? So I just talked about there's no real barriers of women for women in design, architecture, or construction. It's just kind of in your head that you shouldn't be in a man's world, because it's not, there's no mystery of what's done. But I just talked about not having fear. And just if you can't be in construction, just understand it more. You know, and so you really make yourself a better designer.
Yeah. And would that be your same advice right now to a girl in high school who maybe lacks the confidence like you did then?
There's no, don't be fearful, because women are better at organizing. So there's your plus right there, you know, multitasking. And construction really is organization every day and conducting that symphony orchestra, which is also a man's field, funny enough.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah, another thing. But it's all about, so if you really worried about it, take a class in construction management or learn construction, because if you get in the field, the best way to get in is construction management. You don't have to swing a hammer. That's crazy. And you don't have to worry about working with men, because at the end of the day, it's not whether you're a man or a woman. It's if you know how to do your job and who's better at the job. It's not your genetics. It's who's you know, who knows it better. You know, it's not man or woman. It's who's better.
Right. How do our listeners find you if they're looking for a remodeler or some?
You can look at my website, which is simply my name, julielawton.com, or always call me at 714-305-2861.
Always one of my favorite conversations. Always love having you in. You are a spectacular example for not just other women, but for anyone else who wants to be successful. I can't wait to get you in there and let's play some drums.
I know I have to practice a little bit because I'm used to hearing them around me in deafening sound.
Julie Lawton, Julie Lawton Design Build. Thank you for coming in this morning, Julie.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. 8:31 the time on the Mornings with Ed Show.